Welcome to the Speak Up Talk Radio Network. We bring you hand-selected hosts, podcasts, and talk radio programming with listening options, 24/7 streaming, or listen on demand. We also feature one-on-one segments with important guests, people who have something to say that you need to hear. Visit speakuptalkradio.com. Well, right now I'm here with author William Graney. William is originally from the East Coast, Massachusetts, and New York, but has been living in Southern California for over 30 years. He has also spent 4 summers in Antarctica. He has a Bachelor of Science in Psychology from California Coast University and has been writing as a hobby since the 1980s. William has written 5 novels. The first one was completed in 1991 and is titled Limbo. His most recent will be released in May of 2016 and is titled Mountain Time. William has been working in the prints and graphics industry most of his adult life, and in the very near future, all of his books will be available in paperback with the cover design, printing, and hand binding all done by him. And in addition to writing, he is also very passionate about the art of bookmaking and is an avid reader. And I'm so happy to have him with us today, so welcome to the show, William.
Thank you, Pat. Thank you for having me.
It's my pleasure. Before we begin into your books, I am very interested to know what you were doing in your summers in Antarctica.
Well, I was in the Navy then, and we would go down in the summers, the Antarctic summers, which is winters here, and support the scientists who were working down there and doing research.
Well, that probably gave you a little bit of food for some of your books, maybe.
Well, it gave me a lot of reading time, that's for sure. We were pretty busy, but when the work was caught up, there was plenty of time with not too much to do. So I did get in quite, I was an avid reader before that, but it just increased from that experience.
Well, that's great. It gave you an opportunity to catch up on your reading.
Right.
Yeah. Now, before we dig into your books, I also read that your thesis was on the effects of sleep disorders, and I'm kind of interested to hear about that.
Well, at the time, I was actually going through some insomnia issues. And so it kind of inspired me to research that and use that as a basis for my thesis. And kind of hard to remember, it was quite a while ago, but I think what I was trying to prove with the thesis was that sleep disorders were a result of, actually depression was a result of sleep disorders rather than the other way around, which was kind of the common thinking at the time.
Mm-hmm.
Sleep disorders aren't a real popular topic.
Well, you know, it's
there's a lot of people suffer from them, so it's not. But those who do, and it still pops up with me from time to time, it really causes a lot of problems in life. It's kind of hard to get through your day when you're not sleeping.
No, that's very true. And I've done conversations about it, especially when people sleep in a bedroom where there's a lot of light and they can't produce the melatonin they need, or if they're sleeping with their iPhones and iPads and everything on, and you've got those radio frequencies disturbing the sleep. So I think it's probably on the rise.
I haven't looked into it in quite a while, but I suspect you're probably right.
Yeah. Well, we'll have to talk about that some other time. But today I want to talk more about your books. Now, your first 4 books are titled Limbo, Mountaintop USA, Mirrors in the Dark, and Saving Grace. And your books can be viewed as a series because of overlapping characters, but then again, they can all be read as individual standalone novels. However, you say that there are some spoilers between the books. Share your thoughts and your processes on why you chose that type of an idea.
Well, a long time ago, I read a book. I forget which book it was. It was one of the Stephen King books. And one of the characters from a previous book appeared in a later book. And I just thought that was a really cool thing to do, and I've kind of really expanded on that. And the characters from all my books, well, not every character, but a lot of the characters are in multiple books, and I just really enjoy having people from different books meet each other and interact and contribute to the plot.
No, I think it's a really cool idea. But then yet they can be read as standalone, so people don't have to read the first to know what's going on in the third.
Right. I wanted that to be the case. As you get farther into it, though, it's almost impossible to include previous characters without some spoilers. Mm-hmm. So on the website where there's the book description, I make that very clear. If you read this book, it's spoilers for a previous book.
Buyer beware.
Right.
Well, now, what genre or genres best describe your books?
Well, that's a question I have a hard time answering because they're all kind of different. Mm-hmm. I guess if you had to put them all under one, it would just be kind of general literary drama. But the first one, Limbo, is about two young parents dealing with the loss of a child. And then the second one, Mountaintop USA, is more of, it has kind of a cosmic flow to it in that the people in this kind of quirky small mountain town gather together to watch a comet pass by. And they all kind of experience these revelations as the comet passes. And then the next one, Mirrors in the Dark, is about a young man who ended up being illegally imprisoned for 5 years, and he was kept in complete darkness during that entire 5 years. And then the next one, Saving Grace, is about a woman who on her 50th birthday is kind of viewing life as totally devoted to her career because she's never been married. But then she meets the guy who ends up being the love of her life, and simultaneously she's under the threat of a serial killer. So there's not kind of a common genre you could attach to each, you know, the totality of all the books.
Mm-hmm. And I asked that because I really did study all four of your books, and I was trying to figure out if or what you would call each, you know, each genre. But I get it. I get what you're saying. And as I'm thinking about the four different plot lines, I'm wondering, where did they come from?
Well, the first one with Limbo, it was, at the time, my daughter was young, and I think, you know, any time you're a new parent and you have young children, and you hear some story on the news of you know something terrible happening to a child being abducted or you know maybe killed in a car crash, something like that, you think, how could I possibly deal with that? It just seems this insurmountable obstacle to overcome, and so that was kind of the basis for that book. I just kind of tried to work through those thoughts through writing that book. And then the next one with Mountaintop USA, I'm influenced by television shows. And at the time, I was very influenced by two shows, Twin Peaks and Northern Exposure. And I wanted to write a book with that kind of, quirkiness to it, where there's these funny, strange characters, but there's also serious things going on, and there's things in the background that are, you learn about people. And that's another theme I like to bring in, is showing how events from the past affect the present. So that was kind of the basis for that book. And then with Mirrors in the Dark, by the time I wrote that, my daughter was older, and she was a teenager, and we were just talking about writing and books one day, and somehow the subject of being writing a book from the perspective of being in prison came up. Oh. And then, we just were talking about it. We kept expanding on it. Oh, what if that person was in the dark? You know, what if they didn't even see light for, you know, some period of time? And, you know, that's how that came into being. And then with Saving Grace, there was Grace. The character Grace actually came from Mirrors in the Dark, and I just felt like I wasn't done with her yet. I just wanted to expand on her life. I felt like she had a story there that hadn't been completely told, and I just wanted to tell her story.
Oh, this is so interesting, because as I talk with different authors, it's almost as if these characters, obviously they come from you, but it always sounds like then they take on a life of their own. And as you say, you know, she wasn't done, and there was more. And I just find that very interesting how these characters actually become bigger than what they initially started out to be.
I find that very interesting too. And I think about that a lot. And there's some characters that just demand a bigger voice through the course of the writing. And there's a, in Mirrors in the Dark, there was one character that started out as a very minor character. And just over the edits of the book, I just felt like she was demanding that her voice be heard, and she wanted a larger role. And she ended up being a major character, and she was also a major character in Saving Grace also. So it's definitely that's, I think, one of the most fun parts about writing is seeing how characters evolve and how the story evolves. And I heard an interview with John Irving one time, and I think he said that when he's writing a book, he knows the ending before he starts, and he kind of works backwards from there. And I just thought that was really interesting, because I know I could never do that. I start with a basic premise with an outline, and I have some idea where it's going, but I kind of like to let the characters lead the way and almost tell me what to write.
See, I just find that crazy, you having these characters who you are writing tell you what to write. It's just, it's a fascinating process, isn't it?
Yeah, I think there might be some psychological issues there. I don't know.
All right, we won't talk about that today.
Right, but it definitely makes writing interesting for me. I mean, that to me, that's the most interesting part, how the characters develop.
And you had characters from Mountaintop show up in Saving Grace.
Right, and in fact, in the new one, in Mountain Time, which just came out this week, one of those characters is the narrator for Mountain Time.
Oh, all right. Well, let's talk about that. That's your current book. You said it just came out this week. Tell us about that.
Well, this one takes kind of a completely different direction than any of the other ones, but the character from Mountaintop, USA, who is at this time, this one's written in the present in 2015, and she's living in Seattle, and a series of events occur that cause her to want to return home with her family to the town of Mountaintop. And it comes as a surprise to her family, because she vowed to never set foot in Mountaintop again. But because of these events that take place, she decides it would be best for her family to move there. So when they return to Mountaintop, and they buy their house and they're settling into life, she has issues from her past in the town that she's trying to cope with. While at the same time, she finds a book in the library about local ice caves. So she decides that she wants to go see the crystals in this ice cave. And so she gets a group of people together, and they go out there, and they discover a crystal in one of the caves that has kind of... I don't want to put a spoiler out there, but say kind of mystical powers.
Mm-hmm.
And they confront, not really confront, but they experience this crystal, and it alters their lives.
Ooh.
And this leads them there to find out about a secret society that had kept the secret of this cave and this crystal beginning in the 1930s during Prohibition. So then it goes off in the direction of trying to find out what this secret society learned about this crystal.
Oh my, I'm interested in that. So where did that idea come from?
I wanted to do here's a good example of a book not ending up as it was intended to, as I started it. I wanted to do something to do with time travel. And another TV series I've been heavily influenced by in my life is Dark Shadows.
Mm.
And there's one segment in that show where there was actually several that involved time travel. And I was always really intrigued by that. And so that's kind of how it started out. But I just couldn't, you know, find my happy place with the time travel theme. And it just kind of evolved into the crystal as the centerpiece of the novel.
Oh, well, I'm going to encourage folks to get a hold of that. That sounds very, very interesting. You mentioned that earlier, that you do create an outline, but say, for example, then this story took you someplace outside of that outline. How in-depth of an outline is it, or is it just some general ideas? Let's talk about your process a little bit.
I would say it's closer to general ideas than an actual agenda to follow.
Mm-hmm.
I know if there's going to be characters from previous books, I know who they're going to be. And if there's whatever new characters there are, I have an idea of what they're going to be like and how they're going to fit in. And I have an idea of where the story's going and a concept of how it will probably end, but that's about it. But like with Mirrors in the Dark, with the one about the guy who had been in prison, I really had, with that one was kind of unique. I had no idea how it was going to end when I started. All I knew was this guy had been locked in the dark for 5 years. Somehow he was going to escape, and his life would go from there. And that's pretty much, that was basically the outline. With the other ones, there was a little more detail and went farther into the story, but it's never, you know, an exact point by point to follow.
Right. A little tangent here, as you were mentioning that Mirrors in the Dark that you had talked about with your daughter. What did she think of the story once it was finished?
She hasn't read that one.
Okay.
You'll probably find this a little funny, but there's the book I've written. I've tried to add a little romance in all the books, and but not be overtly sexual.
Right.
You know, they're not romance novels or erotica. But in Mirrors in the Dark, there is one scene that kind of you could say is erotica or sexual. And I warned her about that, and she said, there's no way I'm reading something like that my dad wrote.
Oh, wow.
See, that's why she hasn't read that one.
Skip that chapter, honey.
Right.
Oh, my. How old is she?
She's 33 now.
Oh, she just doesn't want to associate that with her dad, huh?
Right, exactly.
That is funny. All right, back to your process. Now, your daily writing routine, do you have one, or how does that work for you?
It's writing and editing are different. Writing is more kind of free form. I do it as I feel it. When I'm, you know, I'll get an idea or, you know, I feel like I'm on a roll, I'll just write as much as I can. Other times I might feel a little stuck, and I don't mind taking a little break. And I run a lot, so a lot of the ideas I get are while I'm running. And if I'm feeling stuck, I'll run more and write less and just try to kind of let the story evolve in my mind.
I think a lot of people do the same. When you're not thinking about something, that's when the ideas come to you. You have to let go every now and then.
Right. Yeah. But as far as editing goes, it's more nose to the grindstone. I'm doing this many pages today,
right,
or this many pages every day. But I won't force it, though. Especially in the later edits, if I feel like I don't like a paragraph or a sentence or the way something's reading and I just can't make it right, I'll walk away from it and come back later. And if I don't get my number of pages in that day, it's okay. It's more important that it be right than I stay on schedule.
Right. Did you self-publish these?
Yes.
Okay. So you did all the editing?
Yes.
Yeah, that's a big task. That is a very big task.
Yeah, it's hard.
Yep, it is, because you're so close to the writing. You know, you can almost have it memorized and know what it says without, your eyes don't want to catch all of those errors. I know that from books that I've written myself.
Yeah, that's the biggest problem. You know what it's supposed to say, so that's what you think it says, but it might not actually say that.
I know, been there and done that one.
I mean, you're in your ninth or tenth edit, and a sentence hasn't changed. And on the 10th edit, you look at it and you're like, there's a typo there. How did I miss that nine times?
I know. Hey, when I see that, that's what endears me to the author. It's like, all right, he's human. Not a problem. Let's talk about your interest in bookmaking. You obviously been in the print and graphic industry, so I'm sure that's where it comes from. But let's share a little bit more about that.
Well, I mean, part of it's just a love of books and the actual physical book. I mean, I have an e-reader, and I use it, and I like it. I don't have anything against it, but I like actual books, too. I collect signed first editions of books I like, and I just love rooms filled with books, and I like the process of making the books, too. And I like the craftsmanship element to it. So it's just, to me, it's just a really cool thing to write the book, design the cover, print the book, and hand-bind the book. And it's just something I like to do. It's a hobby, and it's just something that I enjoy.
So you have all the equipment that you need for this?
Yes.
Are you doing this for other people, or is this just for your sole purpose?
No, just for me. It's a very slow process.
Yes.
It's, I don't have a professional print shop in my house. You know, it's kind of very basic equipment. So you know, like one book takes a while to do. So I really can't take on more than what I'm doing now.
No, I get it. And when you mentioned the fact that you like to actually have that physical book, yeah, I get that. I do as well. I have a hard time reading books on a screen or a computer. And I interviewed a gal a couple of weeks ago, and she told me that she likes the smell of books. Anytime she picks up a book, she goes, the first thing I do is smell it. And it took me back to days in grade school where you'd go to the library and take out books, and they all smelled differently, you know, being in everybody's homes and how many people held them. And each book had its own kind of a scent. Sounds like a strange thing, but that's...
No, I don't think it's strange. In fact, in the new book, Mountain Time, there's a library that's somewhat prominent in the story. And when the characters go in the library, there's that experience of the smell and the... Some of with the older books, it feels like the pages might fall apart, you mm-hmm. know, if you handle them too roughly and that kind of thing.
It's really true. It's just the sensual feeling of holding that book. And it's kind of sad that a lot of young people don't go to libraries.
I heard the other day that for the first time in, I don't know how many years it was, maybe 10 or 15 years, book sales have increased and sales of e-books have decreased.
Oh, I will applaud that. I like that idea.
Yeah, me too.
All right. Well, we're heading in the right direction then.
Yeah, I hope,
I hope so too. So what's next on the horizon for you after Mountain Time?
I'm going to take just a couple months and, you know, really try to promote Mountain Time. And then I'm going to start another one. And this one will have... one of the characters from the first book, Limbo, as the main character.
Oh.
And I'm not 100% sure what direction I want to take that. I have a few different ideas in my head,
mm-hmm.
but I'll just have to wait and see. It's I know who it's going to be about. I just don't know where I'm going to go with it.
Well, if you take a couple months off, then it'll all stew and come to an obvious conclusion, I'm sure.
And then I have one planned after that, too, which is kind of the totality of everything, I guess, where everything's going to kind of come together. But, you know, that's years out, so I'm not thinking too much about that. I just have kind of a general idea with how that's going to go.
And about how long does it take for you to write a book?
From beginning to end is about a year.
Mm-hmm.
The actual writing of the book is maybe 2 months. And then the rest is editing.
I think a lot of people have been typically saying it takes them a year, but I think it might take them a year to write it. And then I don't know what happens to the editing process. Maybe they hand it off to somebody else to do that. But if you're doing it yourself, you obviously need that kind of time for editing.
Right. And I also used to edit less. And a few years ago, I was rereading over the previous books, and I just wasn't happy with
mm-hmm.
them, and I just spent a couple years just editing everything to trim it down and get it better. And I learned a lot from that process, and that you really have to make sure everything is exactly how you want it.
Yep. It's real tempting after you've worked so hard to develop the whole plot and the characters to get it out there. And so I think the whole editing time sometimes gets, yeah, it's good. It's fine.
Yeah, that's the exact lesson I learned, to not do that, because that's what I did.
I know. I understand. Been there and done that one. Now, when you talk about promote your books, any tips or hints for any authors listening on how to best get out there and promote all of this hard work?
I found so far that the best results I've had are through Facebook, setting up a Facebook page for the books and spending a little money to promote them through Facebook, you know, where they'll come up on people's
mm-hmm.
Feeds. And yeah, I guess, you know, they target people who are in book groups or have books as some of the things they like, or they say somewhere on their Facebook page they like reading.
Mm-hmm.
Twitter, I find very... not effective at all, but I continue to use it, even though it's, you know, even if you get one person, you know, it's worthwhile. Does it cost anything?
Right.
But one thing I'm going to be doing soon is I'm just getting to the point where I've printed enough of my books to where I'm going to offer them to book clubs or go to swap meets, things like that, and set up a stand and try to promote them that way.
I think that's a great idea, and book signings, those kind of things.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. All right. Well, I'm always looking for promotional ideas to see what works for people. Well, now, is there anything that you'd like to talk about that we missed today?
No, I don't think so. I think I was really glad you asked me about the how the characters evolve, because that was something I was going to bring up. That's my main, one of my main themes in writing is characters evolving, especially characters who start out as maybe somewhat timid, mm-hmm. and just through the course of the book or books, they come into their own as a person, and overcoming adversity is another popular theme with me, and I just like seeing how characters can evolve from maybe a difficult past and overcome adversity and become the people that they always thought they could be and be leaders and influence others.
And that's a lesson learned for your readers as well.
Yeah, I hope so. I mean, that, to me, it's those are the most interesting stories that I like to read. I like to read about either fiction or nonfiction, whether it really happened or not, just people who overcome the odds and just achieve their goals.
Mm-hmm.
I read a lot in nonfiction. I read a lot of adventure books about mountain climbing or sailing around the world, things like that.
Mm-hmm.
And it just constantly amazes me what humans can do. So I like to bring that element of, if you really try, you may not succeed, but you'll learn something in the trying.
Absolutely. I like that. I like that a lot. I like that kind of attitude. Well, now, where can folks then find out more about you? And most importantly, where can they purchase your books?
At the moment, they can purchase the Kindle versions on Amazon. And I have an author page on Amazon.
Mm-hmm.
So they could search my name or search the titles of the books. There's a Facebook page called Mountain Literary, and the Twitter is at Mountain Literaire. There's not the Y on the end,
okay,
because there's too many characters. So
okay,
it's Mountain Literary without the Y on the end.
Okay.
There's an additional website also. It's mountaintopusa.com that has complete descriptions of all the books and links to purchase.
Okay, mountaintopusa.com.
Correct.
Yeah, so they can go to Amazon and get the e-version. Can they get the hand-bound version as well?
They will be able to soon. If they like the Facebook page, I'll be announcing that on there. And actually, if they wanted to directly email me, that would be fine too. It's w_graney, G-R-A-N-E-Y, at yahoo.com. So if anyone had any questions or anything, they could feel free to email me.
And we'll have all of this posted on your page on the website so folks can find you as well. This has been a pleasure for me today. Thank you so much for taking the time to share you and offering your words of wisdom to fellow authors. I appreciate it. Thank you.
Well, it's been a pleasure for me too. Thank you for having me.